This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Mark Belanger. One of the factors that raises the cost of public services while decreasing their effectiveness is contracting out to private companies. This is especially prevalent in municipalities where services such as water supply have been taken over by huge multinationals. I talked to Daria Cibrario about the issue. Ms. Cibrario is the policy officer responsible for local government issues for the Global Union Public Services International. The PSI is the organization which represents national public service unions at the world level. It has 700 affiliated unions with more than 30 million members in 154 countries. I asked Ms. Cibrario to describe what has been called the remunicipalization of public services.
So, Mark, remunicipalization, or insourcing as some call it, it's the return of public services from private control and ownership of any form, so public-private partnerships, outsourcing, concessions or leases, to full public ownership, management or control. But this kind of phenomenon is linked to the term municipal because it is observed eminently at the sub-national level. It is mostly municipalities, cities, local governments and their communities who are taking back control and in some cases we say deprivatizing their public services for a whole series of reasons. What is interesting about this process is that very often what we see is not just a return to public as it was before the privatization, but these processes are creating a space and opportunities to make public services more democratic and participatory by giving a chance to service users, but also community groups, workers, residents, to co-design together with the local authorities the public services they need. There's also another terminology which is connected to remunicipalization, and it's emerging increasingly, and this is municipalization, which refers to the creation of new public service that was not existing before, and this again is being observed mostly at the local government level. So let me just mention a few figures which can give you the magnitude of these trends. Recent data from the Transnational Institute, which will be published in a forthcoming book titled The Future is Public in April 2020, have identified 1,400 cases of remunicipalization or municipalization involving more than 2,400 cities in 58 countries, and these across all different sectors of services.
Why should cities consider remunicipalization?
Well, first of all, remunicipalization is a very practical, pragmatic response for local governments to deliver quality public services to their local communities following the clear failure of privatization to do so and keep its promises. After 20 years of systematic privatization practically across all countries around the world, what we see and local government representatives of all across all political lines very often seem to agree on that, the access to basic services such as water, affordable housing, energy, but also healthcare, education and child social and elderly care has become more expensive, more difficult to access. And that is a big part of the widening inequality and social crisis and climate crisis as well that our world is experiencing today. And since local government is the first line of government, which is in direct touch with people, with citizens, communities, residents, local government is particularly well placed to have to respond in a very concrete and practical manner to these huge challenges. At a time when cities and subnational governments are stripped more than ever of the resources they need to tackle daunting challenges, they have come up with remunicipalization as a way to, for instance, cut costs. While often it is thought that it is externalizing and privatizing that makes local councils save money, what we see is actually a very different story. The evidence shows different data. For example, in 2014, the Auditor General of the province of Ontario in Canada reviewed 74 public-private partnerships projects and concluded that they had cost the public $8 billion Canadian dollars more than if the province had used directly procured projects to implement them. And at the same time, in the UK in 2018, the National Audit Office report found that the cost of privately financing public projects can be 40% higher than relying solely on government borrowing. But there's a whole plethora of reasons, but certainly, first of all, costs. Second, the ability for the local council and the local government to ensure that the service they deliver to their community is of high quality and that they can control that quality. Because once the service is externalized, is outsourced and privatized, then all the local council can do is to complain with a private operator, but it does no longer have a direct control on the service. And therefore, this creates a real problem. It is also about expanding access for users, because as you can imagine, when it is a private operator which has to generate profits and then pay out shareholders dividends, what matters is to ensure that the service they provide is also profitable for the company. So they are not going to go, for instance, into public transport in remote and rural areas because those are not overall profitable, whereas local government has a mandate to pursue non-profitable mandates, which, however, have a social and environmental value. It is also critical for a local government to keep in-house the capacity to deliver strategic services. If we look at the case of Oslo in Norway, which had privatized its waste management service for over 20 years, when the private company that had been contracted went bankrupt, they had to remunicipalize, so they decided to take it back in-house, but then they had to rebuild the whole capacity to deliver that service. They had to repurchase the infrastructures, like the truck, rehire the people. So there's a big cost curve in that sense. So keeping in-house this capacity to deliver the service is very strategic.
Do you have examples of successful remunicipalization projects?
I would like to mention three cases of remunicipalization plus one of municipalization. First case is an emblematic one that I want to mention. It's the remunicipalization of Paris Water Utility, Eau de Paris, which occurred in 2010 and ended an era of 25 years of water privatization in the French capital, started in the mid-80s. Now, the decision to remunicipalize was taken by the local council at the time precisely to make sure that they would reseize control over costs and would be able then to make savings by reinvesting whatever profit the utility would make into the utility itself and not by paying shareholders dividends. And this is very much what happened. Since the remunicipalization, the utility has invested 71 million euros and only in 2017 in network maintenance and enhancement to ensure that more people have access to water. And it could even lower the water user fee by 8%, saving water users between 2011 and 2015 up to 76 million euros. What is interesting about Paris Water is that it also has a participatory body which participates to its governance called the Water Observatory. And that includes the participation of worker representatives, user representatives, and of course the management of the utility and the local authority. And on top of that, Eau de Paris also sees water as a mission, as a human right. And so anyone who goes to Paris today will notice a lot of free fountains where you can dispense water, and they even dispense sparkling water, which is a particularly effective way to contribute to the fight against plastic bottle waste. A second interesting case is the one of Barcelona Energia. Barcelona, which has had a very progressive mayor for the past few years, Ada Colau, has decided in 2019 to create actually a public energy utility called Barcelona Energia, and has started servicing 20,000 households. And this is a locally generated renewable-based energy whose tariffs are controlled by the local administration. And again, the whole purpose is to ensure that vulnerable households and public buildings are powered by these public energy utilities and are therefore taken out of the profit equation when it comes to energy. A third case comes from Chile, and it's one of the innovative cases that the new TNI research has identified, and it is the case of Recoleta, which is particularly poor local council in the north of Santiago. Chile, a country which has had a brutal implementation of neoliberal policies and privatization of many services. And here, the mayor, who was elected since 2012, has noticed the difficulties and the pain and the strife that people were going through when having to access healthcare and medicines. And so what he did, he has established 40 public municipal pharmacies, which now subsidize and give subsidized medicines to the local dwellers, who have now been able to cut 70% of usual cost on medication. And medicines are particularly expensive in the country due to a cartel of big pharma. And the last example that I would like to mention is a case of municipalization that comes from France, from a small town, the town of Mouans-Sartoux, where the local mayor noticed that there was a real demand, public creche and primary schools, for healthy canteens, healthy eating for the children. And so what they did, by identifying this need at a local level from the local community, the commune, the local council, purchased the farm and hired some workers who now grow organic crops and put in those crops and vegetables, but also chickens, and all that food is put back into the short supply chain of Mouans-Sartoux, and are used to provide and cater the local public canteens in the creche and in the schools. And this has been particularly appreciated by the parents of the children in the school, and it has created a whole movement of healthy eating, but also of organic agriculture, organic growing, and therefore it's fueling the local economy. So these are just a few examples that show that when local councils and government in general are ready to make the leap and dare to take back public services in the hands of the public in a participatory manner, also with the communities, with the workers, with civil society, with local community groups, some real concrete solutions can emerge that can help us all collectively to successfully tackle the daunting challenges of our time.